President Bush and John Kerry aren't the only ones running for the country's top job. Beginning today, NPR will air profiles of some of the minor party candidates. We start with Roger Calero, the presidential candidate of the Socialist Workers Party. Here's NPR's Luke Burbank.
It's a rainy morning in Manhattan's Garment District, and Roger Calero is about to go campaigning. Now, when George W. Bush or John Kerry hits the road, it's usually in a fleet of heavily tinted SUVs. But Calero's chariot is a Volkswagen Jetta with a dodgy battery and a broken trunk. Today's trip will take Calero, his campaign manager, and his wife to the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook. There, he'll preach the message of the Socialist Workers' Party, which can be summed up pretty simply. Capitalist bosses bad, workers good.
Capitalism promotes the dog eat dog mentality. They from the moment you're born, they teach you, you know, it's like that all you have to look out is for yourself. If you're ambitious, if you work hard, that you'll be able to make it, you know, it's like, and you'll be able to be successful. But if that was the case, you know, it's like the large majority of the population does work hard to the point where we're losing our arms and limbs, you know, it's like that's not the problem.
Calero is 35, and with his suit, short hair and constantly chirping cell phone, he looks the part of a candidate. But that's where his similarities with the political mainstream end. Among other things, his platform calls for the government takeover of large corporations. Although they freely use the word communism to describe their goals, these socialist workers say they're not looking to turn the U.S. into another Soviet Union.
A little bit of traffic, but no problems.
They arrive at Stony Brook, where Calero addresses three different classes.
The wars that you have seen in the last few years are not the last one. The war in Iraq is not the last one. They're part of a drive by U.S. imperialism against their competitors.
Some of Calero's comments get approving nods from the groups, but when he talks about the evils of the capitalist bosses, some of the students start to squirm. Many of them are here attending college precisely so they can make a lot of money one day. The talks were set up by David Anshin, a Stony Brook professor. He's planning on voting for Calero next month, which, he says, is not a waste.
I believe that that's what the idea of democracy should be, that you actually vote for something you believe would be good, not you vote as lesser evil. I don't agree with Kerry's positions on anything that I know of, so I feel like to vote for him would be throwing my vote away.
But not everybody's on board. Calero's father-in-law, Gene Katz, teaches here. Katz is a self-described liberal Democrat, but stops short of his son-in-law's brand of politics.
My sense is that this, right now, certainly in the U.S., is not the time for the socialists. I mean, back in the 20s, it was maybe the heyday for socialism in the U.S., and right now, it seems fairly futile.
Not only that, but Calero says he's not sure if his own mother, who lives in Los Angeles, will vote for him. The party has gathered enough signatures to get on the ballot in 13 states and the District of Columbia. That's more than they had 4 years ago, which is the good news. The bad news? Well, since Calero was born in Nicaragua, he's not technically eligible to become president. But he doesn't see this as a big problem. Calero says if he's actually elected, a constitutional amendment allowing him to serve won't be far behind. But first things first, back outside in the parking lot, the dodgy car battery has taken a turn for the worse.
Oh no, we're going to have to get a jump started.
The Jetta is quickly push started and the group heads for the airport. Calero's got a flight to catch in a couple of hours. His goal is to visit every state where he's on the ballot. Why spend all this time and energy when he has no real chance of winning? Because according to Calero, it's not about winning. He says he wants to improve the lives of the working class, and if running his quixotic campaign helps achieve that goal, that's enough.
It is what I was doing before the elections. You know, it's like, so now we're doing it through the elections, and then afterwards we'll continue to do the same.
At the airport, he bids goodbye to his wife.
All right, I'll see you in a month.
And leaves to catch his flight. His first stop is Iowa. It is, after all, a swing state. For NPR News, I'm Luke Burbank in New York.